Good morning. Yeah, y'all can do better than that now. Come on, I've been a week at Eagle Rock, and I got more energy in that. Good morning. Yeah. We've been in a sermon series for the last several weeks, as Coach Mays continued last week. I just thank him so much for continuing that series called The Summit. It's a series on the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest really teaching that Jesus does in the Bible, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And I had that prepared and ready to give that and share that with you, but I'm going to hold on to it and give it to you next week. And I just kind of wanted to focus a little bit on just how big our God is and from the experience of this past week and just kind of talk about that a little bit. That people even ask me, Monty, why in the world would you preach on, you know, when you get back at, you know, whatever time we got back last night, you know, why in the world wouldn't you get somebody else to preach for you? And I always just say that, man, I have just spent a week, you know, experiencing a big, big God. And it has refreshed me and just kind of helped me to understand that, man, I need to continue to be faithful, to continue to have passion. When you see these kids, and really all of us that go, when you sit on the porch and you just look at the majesty of the, you know, of a God that has created all that in front of you, it just reminds you of who He is. And then when you see Him begin to fill your students with His presence, you know, with His Holy Spirit, and they begin to share His love on that mountain with children and special friends and family members, it pumps you up. And so I have this passion back in me, this gumption to continue to move forward in what God is calling me to do. And I want to be here, and I wanted to share with you this morning and just kind of spend some time in God's Word this morning, just talking about how big our God is, how big He is, and that He, there's nothing He can't do for you. And so I wanted to kind of start with this video. Our students got to see it on the mountain and one of the nights in our worship, and I want to start there and just allow you I want you to lean in and allow God to begin to speak to you, begin to maybe bring some walls down and just be willing to listen to Him and His Word this morning. Watch this.
All right, class, I'm going to be your substitute Sunday school teacher.
Hi, teacher.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Well, my name is Mr. Drummond.
What you talking about?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. I'm here to be your substitute.
Wait, where's Miss Linda?
Well, Miss Linda is my wife. And she's been sick, okay? And so I know you've had a lot of substitutes, Sunday school teachers.
Yeah, we've had a lot.
But I'm going to be your permanent.
I've run most of them off.
I bet you have. Yeah, it's you seem like that type of child. But I'm going to.
Wait, you're Miss Linda's husband?
I'm Miss Linda's husband.
And she could do better.
Well. You know, we do what we can. We do what we can.
Yeah.
I like you kids because you just speak truth all the time. You
yeah,
know,
I tell you what I'm thinking.
There you go, buddy. There
yeah.
you go. Well, let me tell you what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to be your permanent Sunday school teacher for a little bit because, I think I know because my wife, Miss Linda, isn't feeling very good. So I'm just going to be here for you guys, okay?
Yeah.
Miss Linda asked me if I would, so here I am, okay?
I don't know.
Well, I think you'll catch on.
Yeah.
What's your name?
My name's Billy, like the goat. But I'm not really a goat.
And you're just a little boy.
I'm just a kid.
You're just a little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Hi. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Hello, class. Why don't we start this? I would love to sing a song that I think Miss Linda.
I love to sing songs.
Okay. Well, good.
I love to sing songs to God.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like I love to sing.
Uh-huh.
I love to sing. Jesus loves me.
Oh, sign
this
language.
I know.
Okay.
For the Bible done told me so. I'm going to be the next American Idol.
You do seem to have the voice.
Yeah.
What is this?
That's my sign language. It's the Bible told me so, like you're sewing. My grandmother sews memory verses in my underwear. In case I have an accident.
Mm-hmm. And just knowing you just a little bit, it's probably a good thing for a boy like you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did.
That's just not, you did not just say that at all. That's just too much. Okay, all right. I'm going to teach you, well, you probably already know this song, class. It's one of Mrs. Linda's favorite songs, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it's called My God Is So Big.
Oh, okay. No, that's Miss Linda's song.
I know, she loves that song.
You don't sing it.
Well, no, I think it would be great.
No, it's Miss Linda's.
I understand.
You don't sing it.
No, it would be okay.
You don't sing it.
She loves that song.
I don't think that's
It's okay. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. For you, okay? That's
yeah.
We know the song. Okay.
Yeah, it's Miss Linda's song.
Well,
you don't even sing it good.
Well, I know.
Have you ever sung that before?
No, I don't have the X
factor.
That was
awful.
Listen to me. I'm trying, okay? My wife, Miss Linda, asked me to be here, so here I am. So I'm trying my best,
I don't
okay?
want to sing that.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you.
Yeah, it gets worse when you sing it more.
Okay. We're going to sing this song.
I don't
song.
Want to sing it.
We're going to
I'm
sing.
Not singing.
Billy,
you
Billy,
can't.
Give me your eyes.
What?
Give me your eyes.
No, you can't have my
eyes. Okay,
eye.
I did not mean.
Are you going to take my eyes?
No, I did not mean that.
You said, give me your eyes.
I did not know. No, I did not.
I'm going to eat your eyeballs.
I didn't say that. No. What are you doing?
That's
no.
what you said.
No, I did not.
You're like an ogre.
I'm not. No,
you
I,
look like Shrek.
What are you doing? No, I.
You got tiny ears and a bald head.
Okay. Nope. Okay, Billy, listen.
Don't touch!
Okay, I'm sorry.
Stranger danger.
Okay. I'm not a stranger.
You are too.
No, Miss Linda's my wife.
Yeah,
remember?
Well, that doesn't make you someone I know.
Okay.
You're supposed to sign a form.
I did. It's okay. You're good. We're good. Okay. So here we go.
You
with
can't have my eyes.
Okay, give me your
no,
ears.
No,
I
you
did not
can't
mean
have
that.
My.
Okay.
What are you gonna do to me? This is the worst day of Sunday school ever. I don't even know what I'm to do.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You're a freak.
Why don't you start? Okay, listen to me.
Don't touch!
Okay, sorry.
Stop! Don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. It's really a rectangle. But nothing rhymes with rectangle. You're not supposed to pick your nose in class.
I'm not.
I get in trouble for that.
I don't. No.
You don't wipe it on your shirt.
You made me chuckle. I blew snot out my nose. Okay.
That doesn't make me like you more. Miss Linda doesn't do that.
Okay, you're right. Let's just start over. Let's just sing the song, okay?
I don't want to sing it.
It's a good song.
I don't think we should. I think we should sing Jesus Loves
That's
Me.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah,
but,
let's sing
but
that.
But let's just sing this.
I think we should sing
no,
Jesus Loves Me.
Okay.
It says, Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
I like that song.
It's a good
song. We should
sing
that song, because I can sing that song frontwards and backwards.
So, little Billy.
Uh-huh.
What did you just say?
I can sing it frontwards and backwards.
Well, that's an ad-lib I'd like to see. Okay, little Billy. Okay.
Oh. I don't want to.
Okay,
don't touch.
Okay.
You are too handsy to be teaching kids.
Little Billy, go ahead and sing it backwards.
I don't have to.
No, you,
you
no,
can't
I,
make
you
me.
Said it. You
I don't
said
have
it twice.
To. Fine,
said
I'll sing
it
backwards.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Touche, my friend, touche.
Me loves Jesus, yes. Me loves Jesus, yes. Me loves Jesus, yes. So tell Bible me so.
Okay, nice song. Let's just stick with this one, okay?
I don't want to sing it.
No, it's really good. Okay, let's just go with it, okay?
I don't want to.
I think Miss Linda, okay, well, I know she taught you all sign language.
Yeah,
sign,
she did.
Signs with the songs,
yeah.
Motions with the songs.
We have motions.
Well, that'll make it fun, okay? So let's do that, okay? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. So mighty. So mighty, mighty, mighty. I should have blew my nose before I came to this class.
You think it's funny, but it's not.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. Okay, see?
I still still don't want to sing it.
No, you. It's,
I don't, no, oh,
it's good.
I have a question.
No question. Class. We're just, we just need to move on with the song.
I have a question.
Okay, all right.
I have a question.
Billy, yes. Does it have to do with the song?
Yes.
Does it have to?
Yes.
Are you being 100% honest?
Yes.
With, yes. Yes, with the song.
Yes. Now you're in trouble. You got the women's ministry involved.
They're right next door. What are you supposed to do?
I know. I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question.
All right. What does it have to do with the song?
Yes.
Okay. What?
Yes.
Okay. What is your question?
Do you think that there were unicorns on Noah's Ark?
Okay. No, there were no.
No, my dad says there could be.
I don't think there was.
Are you calling my dad a liar?
No, I'm not calling your dad. I don't know your dad.
I think there could be too.
I don't know if there
but
was.
But my question is, if there's unicorns on Noah's Ark, what if they poked a hole in it with their horn? What if they poked a hole in it?
What if a unicorn?
Yeah.
That wasn't in the ark poked a hole in the ark?
Yeah.
With their horns?
Yeah. With their tail.
What are you?
Yeah, with their horn. A unicorn. This is a unicorn. This is a devil. Unicorn devil. Unicorn devil. David Crowder.
Okay.
I have another question.
No more questions. Yes. No more. Yes. Put your hands down.
Don't get violent. I have another question.
I have another.
It's important. You.
This better have to do. You need psychiatric help.
That's what my mom says. She says I should talk to Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh.
You kind of look like Dr. Phil.
Okay. All right.
You ever notice how Dr. Phil looks like a walrus?
Okay. All right. Okay.
I have a question.
No more.
You have to call on my name.
Okay. What is it, Mr. Goat?
Okay, Mr. Clean.
Okay, all right, okay. No more. Here we go with the song. Here we
I
go.
Want to
okay.
Sing it.
My God is so
yes,
big, so
Jesus
strong, and so
loves
mighty.
Me.
There's
yes,
my God is
Jesus.
So
loves
mighty.
Me.
There's
yes.
Nothing my God
Jesus loves
cannot
me.
Do
Come on,
for
me
you.
So.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty.
Tells
my God.
Me so.
Why, Billy? No, let's just sing the song.
I don't want to sing your
let's
song.
Let's just sing the song,
Why
Billy.
Do have to sing
it
your
would
song.
Really be great
it
if you could,
make
Billy.
Any
I
sense.
Just want to
I'm
sing the song.
I'm going to tell you right now. You're not Miss Linda.
I know.
You don't
I'm
look
not.
Like Miss Linda.
Billy,
you don't sound like Miss Linda.
Billy.
You don't smell like Miss Linda.
Billy.
You're not as nice as Miss Linda.
Okay,
and you're
Billy.
Coming here trying to sing Miss Linda's
Billy,
song.
Billy, if we could just
and
sing the song.
And I don't understand why we have to sing Miss Linda's song.
I just want
to
sing.
Can you give me one reason why we should sing your song?
Because my wife has can't. Because my wife, Miss Linda, is very, very sick. And she asked me if I would come here this morning, and I just thought we could sing Miss Linda's favorite song because I know I'm not Miss Linda. And I just wanted to sing the song because I just wanted to be reminded this morning of how big and how strong God is because I have to go home, and I need to be strong for her. I need to be very, very strong for her, and she is so courageous, and she has so much faith. And I just thought if we could just sing that song, that it could remind me that there's nothing my God cannot do for me and for Miss Linda, because I don't know what I'm going to do if she... I'm sorry. That was inappropriate, and it's just been one of those, just been one of those really tough times, and I'm just so.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you.
Yeah, as we've been talking about and studying the bigness of our God, one thing I noticed up on the mountain, and really wherever you go, even in our community here, that really all over the world, is there seems to be people who are really searching, I think even with a new intensity, a new energy, for something to hold on to. And I think the reason that is because there's this need for hope when we are in crisis or in troubled times or when things aren't going the way we think they should. And so what I want to do today is I want to make the point that God, that the God of the Bible is really the source of our hope. God offers a hope that is so big, that is so powerful, that it can transform a human being's life and it can rewrite a person's eternity. And it's not that kind of hope that we normally think about, where when we use the word hope, my dad really didn't like that word hope because he felt like it was making his God less because he's not, I don't hope in God, I know my God. And so our English language kind of treats it that way. In everyday conversation, we use the word hope in so many different ways that aren't really consistent to what the Bible refers to when it's talking about hope. In our language, hope has become a little more than just a wishy-washy kind of verb, right? It's kind of like a thin sugar frosted coating around it that makes us think of making a birthday wish before blowing out the candles. It's nice, but it's weak. It's pleasant, but really nothing. There's really nothing to hold on to. Cheerful, but it can never pull you out of deep trouble or hurt. And so I want to say this morning, God's hope is not just wishful thinking. God's hope is not blind optimism. This weak, pale English word that bears little resemblance to the mighty noun that rises up towering, this towering mountain that comes out of the pages of the New Testament called Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the kind of hope that Jesus brings, we're not talking about some lightweight, frail, flimsy, emotional, just little feeling that gets tossed out with the wrapping paper. No, this hope is shot through with confidence. This is a hope so muscular that it can pull you out of a deep pit. This is a hope that is so powerful it can anchor your life, keeping you secure no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what circumstances you are going through. This hope is stronger than death. It's a hope upon which you can stake your life on and stake your eternity on. It is like a thick, strong cable, steel cable that connects us to God and to heaven and to His promises and to His character. The writer of the Hebrews says it this way. He says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And so I begin to think, why is the word so strong? Why is it so sure and so steadfast? Why is it really an anchor for my soul that I can grab onto? Because when you're talking with people that are going through crisis, whose world is kind of just destroyed and broken and hurting and unstable, I need to know, God, why is it a hope that I can depend on? Why is it an anchor for my soul? And the reason is because the object upon which that hope is fixed. This isn't hope for hope's sake. This is hope centered in an almighty, loving God. And this big, big hope that God gives us tells us that no matter what our situation, we can rest in the hands of a sovereign God who loves us very much. And I need to know that. We travel through this life, and it's not easy. It's not all we go through. We experience discouragement and doubt, and even despair, right? And in those moments, I don't know about you, but I gotta have an anchor for my soul, and it needs to be anchored into the sovereignty of my God, so that I can trust Him and know that He's in control when everything around me is out of control. It's the anchor of my soul, something solid. It's the thing when life begins to get completely disoriented. It's, I have something that holds me in place when you're drifting. when all the waves of life are pulling against you, you have something that holds you in place. It's an anchor for your soul. It's for your soul when the storms of life really are creating this maybe give up itis kind of feeling inside of you, and you say, "Man, it's no use. I'm just gonna give up." And something's got to say, "It's not going to sink me." It's an anchor, Monty. It's an anchor for our soul. And so that real hope, that big hope that comes from a big, big God, is only found in a relationship with our God. Isaiah 40 contains one of the most beautiful expressions in all the Bible about the power and the nature of God. Our students are kind of going through Isaiah 40. Mitchell's shared and preached on this passage, and I just wanted to read it to you guys this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 40, and we'll start in verse 10. Isaiah 40, verse 10, it says, "Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his finger? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and the hill on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No. For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust in the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it was a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals will not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, more emptiness and froth. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? No. Or if people are too poor for that, may they at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down? No. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain, and he makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root when he blows them, and they wither, and the wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. And because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? And then this is the student's theme verse this summer. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who hope in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Why does Isaiah talk about this? I really believe it is because he wants us to know. As Kim taught the students this week on one of the nights, he wants us to know that he is infinitely awesome. He is the God of creation, of the universe. But he also is intimately approachable to each one of us. He wants to come in and to be with us and to walk in this life with us. And so our ability to last through the storms of life or whatever comes our way, our ability to endure the long wait comes from him who's been here forever. God's word stands forever. And so since I know that and I believe it, I can last. If I stand upon his word, I can last. God has measured. Did you hear what it said? He has measured the waters in his hands. And so I can last if I put myself in his hands. It says the Lord is the everlasting God. So I can last. I can have hope if I make him my everlasting God. It says when you hope in him, you will last. That's the promise that God makes to us. And let me read verses 30 and 31 again. I just want to focus on those two verses. He says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord get fresh strength. They spread their wings and they begin to soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. I think what Isaiah is trying to say, he's saying if you anticipate strength from God, you'll find it. If you don't, you won't. You say to God, God, I know you're going to give me strength to face this situation. I'm not going to try to manufacture it all on my own. I will wait. I will hope on your perfect strength to flood my heart at the perfect time. You said it would, and I believe you, God. God, this big God, will give me the power to persist because God's power, his bigness, is unlimited. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He never goes to bed, right? He never gets tired of my prayer requests, of my talking to him and crying out to him about anything. He has unlimited energy. He can create a universe and say, what's next? He does not get tired. And so it's such a personal encouragement to me when I read that. I get so refreshed when I begin to read that the truths about my God. And when I'm drained and maybe at the end of my rope, I know I can tap into this power, this big, big God that is unlimited. And that encouragement really brings me, it brings me three things that help me continue to live out my relationship with God. The first thing it brings, it brings an excitement and a passion, to live out my faith. It says, I can soar on wings like eagles. Have you ever seen our great bird, the eagle soaring in the sky? I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, eagles, they're large birds. They're birds. They're powerful birds of prey. Yeah. They have excellent eyesight. They can see from so many, many yards away to be able to capture their prey. They build their nests up in the tallest of trees or in the cliffs in the tallest of mountains. But the greatest thing about them, I think, is just the way they soar, the way they fly. It's much more efficient than just when I've shared this with you, when you just flap, right? When you just kind of flap from place to place and crisis to crisis. And I think the Isaiah is saying, hey, no, he wants you to soar. He wants you to soar, to begin to glide through the sky. Eagles, they find those updrafts, those thermals, and they rise up those in those warm currents that hold them up. So they can gain attitude and they can soar and glide even longer. They can soar without flapping their wings on those thermal currents. And it reminds me of the old story about how the farmer found a little baby eagle that had dropped out of its nest. And he picked it up and he brings it to the barnyard and just kind of tosses it in with the rest of his chickens, right? And that eagle begins to grow up, and he's bigger than the chickens, but he begins to become consumed with the patterns of the chickens around him, and he begins to learn how to peck and feed on, chicken feed like the chickens, and he begins to learn how to flutter down from the chicken coop. One day, he's growing up, and he looks up in the sky, and with wonder, and he asks his buddy, what kind of animal is that flying up there? How graceful and powerful and free it is. So he asked another chicken buddy, he said, what is that? And the chicken replied, oh, that's an eagle. But don't worry yourself about that. You'll never be able to fly like that. And the eagle went back to scratching the ground. And he continued to behave like the chicken he thought he was. And really, the moral of that little story is you and I, we have to realize that we have a purpose. That God has placed us here for a bigger purpose. Your purpose is bigger maybe than you have realized. And what you do know, I think all of us really know this in the depths of our hearts, is that you know, what you have demonstrated with your life maybe has been restricted by the world around you or the status quo or the patterns of people around you that you're trying to follow. And so my challenge for all of us today is to really begin to figure out what your purpose is. Don't be an eagle trapped in a chicken coop. It's time for us to spread our wings and to really begin to soar into what God has called us to be. And we all need a little encouragement from time to time to do this, especially when we begin to have feelings of self-doubt and or frustration. If left unchecked, those feelings can get in the way of achieving our goals and our dreams. That encouragement sometimes can be just as simple as someone coming to say to you, keep at it. You can do it. Or it can come in the form of a loved one, a teacher, or a supervisor who gives us room to grow and to fly. There's been many times in my life when just a word of encouragement, at just the right time, someone believing in me, thinking that I could do it, made all the difference in the world. It brings an excitement to me that I can begin to soar into the dreams and the hopes that God has for me. But not only does it bring excitement to me, it also brings an energy. You know, this energy that it doesn't come from me. You know, it says you'll be able to run and not grow weary. Reminds me of one of my favorite stories about the old motorcycle guy. Yeah, he pulled up to the red light on his Harley, a big old Harley. He had a black jacket on with all the crosses and skull bones and all. You know, he had an old dirty bandana wrapped around his head, and he's sitting there at the red light, and he and the a Harley. It's thundering. It's thundering, right? Up beside him pulls this little old grandpa on his moped. Lime green moped. And how many of you know that a moped can't thunder? No, it's like ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding, ring-a-ding-ding. You know, he's sitting there and he looks over at the guy on the Harley and he goes, Sonny, can I look a little closer at your bike? It's awesome. And the guy says, sure, old man, do what you got to do. And so the old man leans over, gets really close right there at him, you know, and he says, man, the handlebars, all the chrome, it's amazing, it's awesome. He goes, I'll bet that thing can go fast. About that time, the light turned green, and the old Harley guy said, I'll show him how fast. And he just, whoom, he laid down on it, and shoo, 30 seconds, he's up to 100 miles an hour, right? He's just flying. And all of a sudden, he looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees his little dot coming closer and closer and closer and closer to him. And it's going so fast, he can't even figure out who it is. Shoo, right by him. He gets further and further and further away. He said, what in the world was that? And all of a sudden, he looks ahead and he sees his dot coming back closer and closer and closer. And he realizes it's the grandpa on the moped. Shoo, right by him. He said, how in the world can that be, you know? And he gets smaller and smaller as he goes. And so he cranks it up. And he starts going faster. And all of a sudden, in his mirror, he sees a dot getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And he just stops. And Grandpa just smashes into the back of him, and they tumble over into the ditch, and everything's destroyed, and Grandpa's just kind of laying there on top of the Harley, and the guy comes up to him and says, hey, old man, is there anything I can do for you? And he said, yeah, sonny, could you unhook my suspender from your handlebar? That's an old one, but it's a good one. Listen, when you and I step into a relationship, a personal, forever relationship with God, He promises us that He fills us with His Spirit, His power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives and resides in you if you're a follower of Christ. You were filled with that power, that strength to run and not grow weary. To really begin to, not in your own strength, but in the power that's working in you to live out your faith, to have it produce fruit in your life that can make a difference. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, not in our own strength, but according to His power, does it work within us?" Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's a power that gives us the strength to go up on a mountain and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It gives us the power to go to our campuses, into our communities, at our workplace, and not in our own strength, but with the power of the Holy Spirit living in us to share the good news that we have a God that is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing He can't do for you. But not only am I encouraged with the excitement that it brings me and the energy that it brings me, but also it brings me an endurance to walk and not faint, to keep on keeping on. I love the story about Bob Whelan. He was a Vietnam War veteran who lost his legs to a mortar mine in 1969. And after recovering from his injuries, he was inspired to become a marathon participant. So in 1986, he entered the New York Marathon. 20,000 entered that race. 19,713 finished, and he was dead last. Took him almost 5 days. Show that picture. Took him almost 5 days to finish that race. Ran the whole race on his arms. And if you watch the video of that, as he's running, people are coming by and they're encouraging him. And he's encouraging them back, telling them, be strong, you can make it, be strong. And he just keeps going. Never giving up. You see, it's an endurance that God begins to place in our lives so that we can continue going forward. We might not have an occasion to soar. Maybe there's no room to run. But our big, big God will give you the gift of endurance just to stay at it and not give up. If you and I will hope in the Lord, we will not be disappointed. Again, we may not be able to soar, even to run, but to walk and not faint, it will be given. And there are times when that of itself, in and of itself, is not only enough, it is everything. It is the hope that we have in Christ. And we need that. Continue to be faithful in our journey, His call in our lives, to every day wake up, and either with excitement or an energy or just endurance, keep living our lives for this big, big God who is infinitely awesome and sovereign and in control, but is intimately approachable and lives in me and in you. 2 Timothy 2:9 and 10 says, "And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen." This week, it rained on us up there. I mean, it rained, right? And we're getting them into the camp area, we're getting them out of the camp area, and just watching your students, your kids, the ones that you invest in, just serving them and helping them and not giving up, you know, even though it's just flooding down on them and they're holding umbrellas, they're holding up special friends, sharing the love of Jesus with them. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You see, this excitement, this endurance, this energy is not just for us. It's so that there can be a harvest that will be reaped. It's so that lives will be changed for eternity through the way that we live our lives. They'll see something different, and they'll want to know the Savior that we know. That's why He gives you this excitement to be able to soar. That's why He gives you energy to run and not grow weary in your faith. That's why He gives you endurance. Sometimes you just have to keep stepping in faith, one foot in front of the other. Not growing weary in doing good. Waiting for God to continue to use you so at the proper time, someone else will enter into the kingdom of God because of your testimony, the testimony of your life. So if we hope in the Lord, we will not be disappointed. Again, let me just say this. We may not be able to soar or even to run, but to walk and not faint, it will be given to you. And there are times when that not only is enough, but it is everything. It is the hope we have in Christ. Romans 15 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So let's anchor. Let's anchor our soul in the hope of God. Trusting Him. Embracing the unseen. And building our life around an infinite, awesome, intimately approachable God. Allowing Him to produce His joy and peace in us through our faith in Him. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There is nothing He will not do for you. Allow Him to fill you with His excitement, His energy, His endurance. And let's step into His future for us and watch Him use us to change our world around us. Pray with me, please. Let's just spend a moment here with our heads bowed and just in prayer with our God, or allowing Him to speak into your heart and to your spirit. You know, I love that truth about our God, that He is so big, so strong, and so mighty, but He's also so interested in the intimate details of our lives and our relationships. And He created us in the miracle that is, He created us so that He could be in relationship with us. And so if you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Him, you've never said yes to Him, you never confessed with your mouth that He is your Lord, you never believed in your heart that Jesus is His Son and He came and died on a cross to pay for your sins and was rose again on that third day so that you could have eternal life, do that today. That pull on your heart into relationship with Him is the Holy Spirit saying, "I want to be in relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to walk through this life with you." And it just takes a simple yes. Say, "God, I want to surrender right now." If maybe that's you, just pray, "God, come in to my heart. God, be my Lord, be my Savior. Begin to forgive me, God, and transform me so that I can be the person you've created me to be, so that I can soar, so that I can continue to step out in faith and be who you created me to be." It's a simple yes that begins this relationship, but it's a costly daily surrender to your God, to your Savior. So those of you in here that walk in relationship with Him, don't allow the world to beat you up. Don't allow circumstances to bring you down. Hold on to our big, big God. Trust Him. Continue to surrender to Him daily in your life, asking for Him to produce His fruit, His energy, His power in your life to live out your faith, to transform you to be more and more and more like Jesus Christ, so that you can be used to introduce this unconditional, amazing love to those around you. Father, listen to the prayers of your people's hearts this morning. Respond, Father, and help them to sense your presence in a real way, in a powerful way. Help them to feel change coming on even now. God, as we walk into this new week, give us an excitement, an energy, and endurance to live out our faith in a way that people will see that something is different. Because you are a big God, so strong and so mighty, that is in relationship with us. So do your work, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.